The Beijing Olympics begin in exactly 1 month. The teams are mostly picked. The venues are mostly set. The U.S. President, George W. Bush, is wholly on board. He said a couple days ago he'll be in attendance at the opening ceremonies. And the protesters have a few more chances to be heard. But at this point, sport seems to be overwhelming geopolitics as the central story of the game. David Walachinsky, author of The Complete Book of the Olympics, writes also the world's 10 worst dictators annually in parade. So he's right there at the confluence of the stories of these Olympic Games. Hello, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So we talked before, and I know you've said that you do not scoff at the notion that protests can not do anything. You always point to South Korea in 1988 and the Olympics there led to opening that country up. But my question with these Olympics are, if the Chinese government can weather the earthquake, in fact, receive plaudits from the international community, will any Olympic protests from this point forward change anything?
Well, I never thought that the protests would have a major effect on the Chinese Communist Party because they are not as vulnerable as the South Korean dictatorship was prior to the 1988 Olympics. South Korea was in an emerging economy. They needed help from the outside, and there were major protests going on within the country. And remarkably, almost stunningly, you know, the dictatorship is a step down in South Korea and allowed free elections. You were never going to have that happen in China because China is a much more powerful country, more powerful economically.
The Human Rights Watch issued a report yesterday, 71 pages, detailing violations of press freedom in China. So even if the Chinese government isn't going to have a sea change, can this report or others like it make an incremental impact on the country?
Well, I think you saw a little bit of opening up after the earthquake, but shut down very quickly. And, you know, Chinese government issued temporary regulations that eased restrictions on foreign journalists. But it didn't quite work out the way they had said it was going to work out, because when it got down to it, they ended up restricting access to what they call sensitive areas anyway, Tibet, Xinjiang province, where the Muslim Uyghur people are. And also, talking to journalists who are based in Beijing, the way it worked in practice was, you know, journalists, you know, go out to, you know, places where maybe there were, you know, land use protests going on in the countryside, and they would be immediately picked up by the local authorities and kicked out. And the journalists, foreign journalists, would say, but wait a minute, you know, we have these national regulations. And the local officials go, oh, I don't know anything about that. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way they got around it.
Right. What is your take on the president, George W. Bush, the U.S. president, attending these games?
I know a lot of human rights people are angry. I'm embarrassed because, first of all, no U.S. president has ever attended a foreign Olympics. President Bush did not go to Athens because there would have been such massive protests. Even Colin Powell had to cancel his trip to the Athens Olympics, much less Bush himself. And so I just feel that, you know, to break precedent in order to help Hu Jintao and the Communist Party is embarrassing as an American. And I feel that, you know, the President of the United States is allowing himself to be used as a prop in a propaganda spectacle by the Chinese Communist Party, because as much as the Chinese government cares about what the outside world thinks, it's nothing in comparison to how they intend to use the Olympics to convince their own people that the entire world recognizes the Chinese Communist Party as legitimate leaders of China. Keep in mind that only 5% of the Chinese people are members of the Communist Party.
To that point, April Rapkin, writing in the New York Times the other day, an op-ed, wrote that what the committee, meaning the Olympic Committee, and the rest of the world don't realize is how little China cares about what they think. Here in Beijing, where she lives, the Olympic Games are primarily for domestic consumption, justifying the government's new global power to its own people. So in April,
exactly. I agree 100%. I mean, that's my experience. You know, I've been to China. This will be my ninth trip to China, going next later this month in 30 years. I started going 30 years ago. And it's kind of awkward to even talk about it. But there is a similarity between these Olympics and the Nazi Olympics of 1936, in that in 1936, the Nazi Party, Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party, they didn't do anything terrible. But what they did was they used the Olympics to show their own people that they were legitimate. And lo and behold, you know, everybody went there, everybody competed, nobody complained. This is 1936. And so now, you know, we have, you know, 72 years later, that is exactly the goal of the Chinese Communist Party.
Right. Not an exact parallel, obviously. The United States left Marty Glickman off the team so as not to offend the anti-Semitic sensibilities of the Germans. No one's making those kind of concessions.
Well, he was actually on the team. He was not allowed to compete.
Not allowed to compete. Right.
Yeah.
But I guess my question with April's assertion that you also agreed with is, so it's for domestic consumption, but what's your assessment of that? Is it going well domestically for them? Could they be, are they pleased as punch?
You know, I tell you better in about 3 weeks when I get there again, but you keep in mind that the, you know, the central government completely controls the media 100%. And so, you know, they control everything that the Chinese people hear. And, you know, you talk, oh, well, you hear people say, well, now they're using the Internet. The amount of Chinese people who use the Internet, which, by the way, is heavily censored, but the amount of people who use it is so small.
Right.
You know, it's like less than a quarter of the people have ever used the Internet.
So they don't have any real chance to know.
We
do have to end it there, but I want to thank you. David Walachinsky, author of The Complete Book of the Olympics. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you.
Next up, Radiohead on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.